Can we talk something else? Can we talk about something else?
Hello. Out there. I often get made fun of for my fear of travel by air. I'd rather drive 24 hours than fly for 2 hours. In my defense, there's more to flying than just flying. There's the preparation, the buying of the tickets, the drive to the airport, the check-in of bags, and slow trudge through security. But who's counting all that? I am. What we're talking about here is safety, usually, when someone is coming up against me on why I should fly rather than drive. Flying by plane statistically is safer than driving. Check. Gotcha. Right. But what do the stats say about survival rate of a crash? What percentage of people survive a car accident in comparison to a plane or a helicopter crash? This is my argument. You ever had someone share that they got in an accident on the weekend and assume that they meant a fucking plane crash or a helicopter or a helicopter crash? A little rotor bender, like that horrific incident last week on the Hudson in New York, New Jersey, where it was with those kids from Spain and the family and this horrific shit. I can't even look at it. Now, you haven't heard anybody say that they got in a little rotor bender in a fucking helicopter because they would have died had they been in that situation. They've been in fender benders and told you about it, but not in rotor benders. How about amusement parks? Do amusement parks strike you as perfectly safe? With the dead-eyed teenagers snapping gum in their mouths while lazily pulling switches, sending constant herds of people hurtling down a track and into a tunnel and through a few loops. What could go wrong there, right? That's perfectly safe? Nothing really could go wrong there. People tell you, they say, with all the fail-safes that are involved with roller coasters. But do you know where the ideas for fail-safes come from? Previous failures of safety. Usually the result of human error. Welcome to Dark Topic. I'm your host, Jack Luna. This is a true crime happening. The Smiler. Staffordshire, England's Alton Towers is a world-renowned theme park that opened in the spring of 1980 and has steadily grown over time in popularity. Alton Towers is the UK's most popular theme park, welcoming nearly 2 million visitors per season. It's grown in size over time with its offer of 9 roller coasters, amongst other attractions that sprawl the former grounds of the Earl of Shrewsbury, whom we all know and admire, surely. But by the summer of 2015, Alton Towers had seen a steep rise in notoriety, followed by a death-defying drop in ticket sales. The Smiler, a.k.a. the Marmalizer, came to the public's attention in a marketing blitz across the UK, leading up to the 2013 Alton Towers season, running March through November. Marmalize, that word I just slurred out, is British slang for destroy or pulverize. I assume it's in reference to marmalade, which is pulverized and disgusting. I don't like marmalade. I mean, we could fight on this, but that's not. This word was used excessively, the word marmalize, in the build-up to the Smiler's debut. The Smiler ride itself was only hinted at through plastering of its logo everywhere across the UK, from its cities to its shires. Picture two spinning eyes and a wide smile. That's the logo. It's reminiscent of the Cheshire Cat. This yellow, black, and white imagery was on billboards in the form of spray paint on the side of buildings. To those in the UK exposed to this clandestine campaign, it seemed there was a graffiti blitz by a new Banksy-style artist. The logo was found painted on the sides of sheep, starting a Twitter trend at the time of hashtag creepy sheep. But by the opening season of 2013, all was finally explained. Alton Towers had a new attraction, the Smiler, a world record-setting thrill ride with 14 inversions, you know, upside-downers, loop-de-loops. Not just loop-de-loops, little fucking inversions, little spins. You've been on a ride before. Corkscrews, bat wings. There's all this lingo with these fucking roller coaster enthusiasts. I'm not one of them. The concept of the coaster was of a correction facility. The Smiler ride, it promised to force smiles from its passengers. This was, well, is an infinity coaster. It's still available for people to ride. And it was made by famed German coaster creators Gerstlauer. Infinity coasters can hold more passengers and have built-in systems to hurry along the process of processing thrill seekers. It has multiple trains, as they call them, moving along the track at the same time. So they're constantly moving people through. You're not waiting for the car that just took off, the train that just took off to come back to you. I mean, there's another one right away, and they're all in sync. They have things involved with infinity coasters like a magnetic reversal device that would quickly pull passengers back to flatter areas should a malfunction occur and ensure quick evacuation to reset a ride. This ride, this Smiler, had a lot of issues leading up to its debut. Teething problems, as the park would call them. Things like parts flying off, screws coming loose, and tracks separating. Normal stuff, you know. Normal growing pains for a new coaster, apparently. It was expensive to make, the Smiler. 18 million pounds, a hefty sum. Close to 25 million US. Just for the coaster. That doesn't count shipping and assembly. So the park was under pressure to get the Smiler moving, or else the marketing scheme and the money pumped into that would be marmalized itself. Employees of the park assigned to the Smiler would later share how they'd been pressured to minimize downtime once the ride was finally deemed safe and ready to roll. We gotta make money on this thing. The Smiler needed to do as advertised, or the park could go under. The goal would be to process 1,200 park goers per hour. A dizzying number. Think about that. They got five trains. They got 16 people on each train. So that's 50. That's 80 people that can go if they all were going at once. And you need 1,200 to go through every hour. I'm not up for doing the math. I'm just thinking about it right now. I could, but I won't. Maybe you got more time than I do. This is just off the top of my head. I'm just trying to figure that out. I mean, it's constant. I mean, 1,200 per hour, 60 minutes in an hour, 1,200 divided by 600. How the fuck am I going to figure that out? My God. It's constant. No doubt about it. And you have to have all trains just available, and it's just running through. If there's a problem, there's going to be a big problem. And there's pressure from the park being like, we need at least this many people going through because there's at least this many people that are excited about this ride. And we want them to go home saying, you got to go to the park and ride the Smiler. There's competition in the area. And with places where I grew up, there was only one place. In the UK, there's multiple places. I mean, the UK is a strange place, a very interesting place. Have you ever heard of it? There's just a lot of competition. When I grew up, there was just one spot. So it was like, go fuck yourself. You showed up, you're going to wait for 2 hours in a line. Alton Parks, they did not want this. They wanted to have everyone enjoy the Smiler right from the start. And the ride itself, you know, it's dizzying to even look at. It still exists today. I'm going to give it a shot to explain it, but I don't want to end up tongue-tied, which isn't a bad explanation, actually. Picture a black tongue tied multiple times and flickering out at times and looping down a long Gene Simmons tongue, and you got a bit of an idea what the smiler looked like, or you could just look it up. You know, take a look. The smiler will reach speeds of up to 85 kilometers per hour, 53 miles per hour. It begins with two lift hills. The first happening, you know, lifts you to the top of the hill, drops you. You go through a bunch of incline sections, and then you're pulled up again. And you're pulled up by a large chain in the center of the track. You've been on a fucking roller coaster before, right? The smiler cars, they automatically separate from the chain at the highest point and let you go and let gravity do its thing. The first of the two lift hills on the smiler, it's a regular lift hill when you first get there. But then after going through the inversions, the second one pulls you up this track, which leaves giggling passengers lying basically on their backs. That's how steep this incline is. And it's meant to be like you're a patient strapped to a chair at a psych ward. The smiler is very complex and separated into stages meant to make the rider forcibly smile. In stage one, it's called the inoculator, and it gives you a jab of happiness. You kind of just float through. The second stage is called the tickler, and it forces riders to smile against their will. You're kind of spinning more. The third stage is the flasher, and there's blinding lights hitting you, and it creates swirly glazed over smiler eyes in your mind's eye, well, right in your face, but they stick in your mind. And it's like you're going through this process that the smiler wants you to go through. The fourth stage is the giggler, and you get sprayed with this intoxicating laughing gas, they tell you, but it's just water. And then the fifth stage is the hypnotizer, designed to disorient, mesmerize, and disrupt self-awareness. It's just a heinous bunch of flips and spins and all that at the end, just to beat the shit out of you, to make sure when you get off that ride, you're screaming, you're panting, and you're smiling. All through the experience, riders are overloaded with mind-muddling music and mocked by the maniacal laughter of the smiler. Here, I'll play a little bit of it for you here right now. All right, so you get the idea. Ha, 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 ha. Like, fuck. Oh, my God. It's fine when you're in the ride. And it only goes for a few minutes, but imagine being stuck on that ride. And these people that are we're going to be speaking about here, who obviously come into a dark topic because that's what we're doing, they had to hear that over and over and over again for, I think it ends up being 5 or 6 hours. Actually, you'd hope they would have turned it off at some point. But imagine that. In a catastrophic event, as you know, is coming with a fucking roller coaster that you're having to hear that over and over again. I think for at least they were hearing this for 2 hours. Once off the ride, if you make it off the ride, you are greeted with the messaging on a board there saying, "You now belong to the smiler." Something that on June the 2nd of 2015 became a reality for 16 riders, shoulder strapped in, four to a row, in four rows for over 4 hours. I just explained that they're four to a row and there's four rows back. There's 16 and they're strapped in, but they're on a kind of a platform. It's a big rectangular piece of metal and they're sitting in their seats and they're within it. So you're kind of held by this train, this base of a train car, you can picture it as, served up on a platter, really. It's a windy day, too windy to ride the Smiler. The Smiler, it has a wind safety limit of 34 kilometers an hour. Winds are being clocked at 46 kilometers an hour, which is like 25 miles per hour. And it's at around 1:15 p.m. that 16 passengers in train four, they're told they'll need to exit and either leave or wait until the ride was safe to board again. They had just gotten on. They were checking all the safeties. And the wind was too high. They get off and they have to wait a while here. Apparently, besides the wind, there have been multiple technical issues plaguing the ride this fateful day. While the passengers wait, Train 3, an empty train car, a 16-seat ride car, was sent alone through the Smiler to clear these alarms and ensure a good reset of the ride. This empty car did not make it through the entirety of the track. Because of winds and the light load without passengers, Train 3 failed to make it through a bat wing sequence and rolled backwards through a valley, back up the hill preceding this valley, back into the valley, try to get back up to, into the bat wing, back into the valley, back and forth, rolling back and forth for a minute or two before finally coming to rest in this low part of the ride. The ride engineer, you know, the teenager who pushes a button and sends 16 or so souls flying into a roller coaster experience, the ride engineer hadn't been informed of Train 3 being sent through the ride. Also of concern, those who had sent Train 3 through didn't check to make sure it made it through. We, of course, know that it didn't, as did some parkgoers filming all of this from the ground. I have it all collected for you to watch and read further on in the show notes, but let me have a shot at it first, of course. The waiting passengers, they finally reboard Train 4 at around 1:40 p.m. They've been standing around for half an hour. Before that, they've been in line. None of the 16 passengers opted to leave during this delay because who would? I mean, you wait an hour in line, what's another half an hour? The ride finally begins. It's still super windy. They shouldn't be riding, but the ride operators have been told, we need to get 1,200 people through here every hour. Let's meet this quota. The ride begins, and the Smiler begins working its dark magic. These passengers, they get pulled up the track and they get let down a hill, and it happens again on their backs. After a few inversions, they get pulled up a steeper incline, from my understanding. Actually, I've watched the ride. You can watch it again in the show notes. You can see this point of view of the ride, and they're all smiling. I mean, it's a lot of fun when you have something happen to you on a ride which seems intense, and then something more intense happens. They're getting pulled up on their backs now when it was a little bit less initially, and they get to the top of the second incline, are ready to be dropped again, but then a failsafe is initiated. The ride has detected that Train 3 is stalled up ahead in the valley down the hill beyond a few inversions, and here they should be magnetically pulled back to safety and told to exit, but the operator is fucking clueless to Train 3 not making it through the track, because the ride operator doesn't know that it was even sent through at all. So he or she, they or them, decide they should press the fucking button, hold it down, and push the show on. Override the failsafe. Here's what that all sounded like. From the screams of pleasure from the ride operator pushing them over the hill, to them spinning around a few inversions, to them sliding into the valley and smashing into Train 3. The audio here comes from someone on the ground filming the Smiler. Rosetta Stone, Konnichiwa. That means hello out there, basically, for those who don't really understand the Japanese language like I do by this point by using Rosetta Stone, but you can get up to snuff like me. Speaking a new language can create incredible opportunities. Rosetta Stone makes it easier and more immersive than ever. Rosetta Stone is the leading language learning program available on desktop, mobile, designed to fully immerse you in your chosen language for a more natural and effective learning experience. My favorite feature so far, I've mentioned it many times, is the true accent feature, and you saw that featured in the beginning, Konnichiwa, right? There are just so many things within Rosetta Stone that kind of get you primed, prepped, for learning this new language and learning it effectively. Learn faster, retain longer. Rosetta Stone immerses you in your new language naturally, helping you think and communicate with confidence. There's an intuitive learning process. You start with words, build to phrases, and progress to full sentences. You can perfect your pronunciation. The built-in true accent speech recognition technology provides you real-time feedback, making you sound more natural. You can learn anytime, anywhere. Rosetta Stone fits your lifestyle with flexible, on-the-go learning. And there's an incredible value here. You can learn for life. A lifetime membership gives you access to all 25 languages, so you can learn as many languages as you want, whenever you want. you don't have to be a savant like me. You know, so far I've learned a little bit of Japanese, a little bit of Italian, a little bit of German. But, you know, work at your own pace. Don't wait. Unlock your language learning potential now. Dark Topic listeners can grab Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for life. Visit rosettastone.com/today to get started and claim your 50% off today. Don't miss out. Go to rosettastone.com/today and start learning today. Sayonara. All right, everybody. Uncommon goods. The holidays, they sneak up fast, but it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade. Many are crafted by independent artists and small businesses, and because they're made in small batches, the best finds can sell out fast. Oh my, what do we have here? An acoustic gramophone amplifying speaker. So it's like really nice looking wood with, you know, one of those old time horn things that are on the gramophones, you know, and you plug your phone into this thing and it amplifies through the gramophone. That's a pretty cool gift for myself. Check out, there's just a ton of stuff here. Uncommon Goods has something for everyone, from moms and dads and kids and teens and book lovers, history buffs, diehard football fans, foodies, mixologists, gardeners. You'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back a dollar to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date, so shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your new gift, go to uncommongoods.com/darktopic. That's uncommongoods.com/darktopic for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. Imagine you get slammed. Anyways, we'll explain what happens here, but that ha 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 is happening as they slam into the train three. Front row passenger, 18-year-old Joe Pugh, quote, "I remember seeing it, the empty car, just sitting there on the track, and there was nothing we could do," end quote. Train 4, with its 16 passengers, slams into the stalled and empty train 3. Waiting for them in the low valley of the ride, it goes full speed into it. The force amounts to a 1.5-ton crash at around 120 kilometers per hour, 75 miles per hour, which is like a highway speed if you're trying to stay just below pullover territory on a cop's radar. The empty train 3 has a T-bar on the back, used to pull it around for maintenance. This bar, it slams through the front of train 4 with all the passengers, and it works to help further fuse the two trains together. The impact crunches and melds heavy metal together, but this T-bar is instrumental in doing the most gruesome work here, ripping apart and crushing the legs of the two front middle passengers. Blood sprays over everyone behind them. The footwell of the center front row has been crushed down from half a meter to a few centimeters, 1.5 feet or so to an inch or so. Not a lot of leg room up there all of a sudden. Leah Washington, 17, has her left leg crushed, marmalized, as the marketing team for the Smiler would say. She is at the park with her boyfriend Joe Pugh, who we grabbed a quote from previous there. It's their first date. Pretty unforgettable if they make it out alive. Joe, his kneecaps have been shattered, his legs broken, a pinky finger of his is near ripped off. Joe is yelling at the onlookers that we just heard filming there to stop filming them and get some help. Someone else in the back saying, stop the fucking ride. I mean, it's been stopped. But you can't blame them for asking to stop the ride to reverse this somehow. But the ride's been stopped. It's not something to laugh at. It's just crazy that this has happened. And you hear someone saying, stop the ride. It's like, let me off is what he's trying to say. Like, for Christ's sakes, that hurt. Joe Pugh, he's screaming at those that are filming this to use those phones that they're filming with to call an ambulance, like I said. And he's saying, for Christ's sakes, you fucks, call an ambulance. His girlfriend is in shock. She and the girl next to her, 20-year-old Vicky Balch, have taken the brunt of this. While Leah has had her left leg crushed, Vicky has had her right leg destroyed. Crushed as well. Vicky will have this to say later, quote, I just wished I would die. The pain was unbearable. And keep in mind, I mean, you got ha, 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 the whole fucking time. Vicky's boyfriend, Dan, is beside her and beside himself. His legs, they're broken. His lungs, they're punctured. It's making it difficult to speak, let alone scream. Because of this puncture, all the others are screaming, though. Behind the four unfortunate souls at the front who took the brunt of this, another dozen passengers are howling in pain and begging for help. All have internal injuries and whiplash. This is a nightmare. It's been 10 minutes since the impact now, and nobody yet has called for emergency services, although they've collected a lot of video from their cell phones. Can you imagine that this is the world we live in? The public will stand around gawking and just film things rather than call for help. They want to show everybody that they know that they were a part of something rather than help. Your first instinct is to, oh, shit, look at this. Oh, I want to share this. I was around this. Look at me. I was around something. Your first instinct should be, holy fuck, something bad's happening. How can I help? But not in this day and age, it seems. The public, they stand around gawking. The park workers looking around at one another, they're just going like, what happened? And every single one of them with a phone in their pocket or up filming this. But no call for 10 minutes, 12 minutes. Lots of video taken, like I said, but no phone calls to 999. Quite a few to 666, apparently, but none to 999. As the helpless riders on train 4 of the Smiler, they wail in pain, and they are drowned out by the Smiler music at times, which continues to insanely play on the loudspeakers. The Smiler himself intermittently providing that sadistic cackle. Ha, 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 ha. You know, as if this were what the Smiler wanted. He wanted his helpless captives in this situation. When emergency crews finally arrive, 50 minutes after the crash, my God, they couldn't initially figure out how to get to the victims. A fire truck with a cherry picker had to figure its way in. That arm and basket is designed to go up, but the position of the fused Smiler trains was at a lower valley of the track with an excavated empty space below that. Anyways, apparently this complicated things, and it took over 4 hours to get everyone out eventually. Lots of metal needed to be cut once they got in. The fire department, even with their top-of-the-line tools, they had difficulty fighting through the jammed front row restraints of the Smiler. Everyone else kind of got out quicker. If nearly 2 hours after such a crash could be quick, quick in comparison to the poor couples at the front. The two young women, Vicky and Leah, they are in agony and have life-threatening leg injuries. They're bleeding out. They would bleed out if it wasn't for the compression keeping them from doing so. Both eventually had to have their legs amputated once they were out. One each, one leg each. The two girls, they had sat side by side for over 4 hours with their legs closest to one another, the ones closest to each other, the left and then the right, completely pulverized by that T-bar. It's unimaginable. And It's a miracle that neither died, though through the agony they wish they could, and there are so many more injuries that you can imagine here. I mean, imagine your left leg or your right leg, whatever, one of your legs, you're sitting in one of those fucking roller coasters and it's just crushed. Your pelvis, you know, your genitalia, your hips, your internals, your stomach. I mean, fuck your feet. Everything's just crushed on that side. And you're there for 4 hours because those are the ones, those two girls were the hardest to get out. They had to ensure that once they released them, once they were able to get through everything, because they're the most crushed. It's not just about being careful about how fucked up they are from this and doing something that allows for the body to evacuate itself in certain ways, whether by blood or just being disemboweled or whatever else. They got to be careful in that way. This section is more crushed than the other sections because it took the brunt of the hit. So they're tearing through everything with jaws of life, with saws, with whatever else. And that's causing more pain. I mean, my God, for 4 hours. But they did survive. A criminal investigation into the incident would reveal that four engineers working that day, they'd not read the Smiler's operations manual, and they figured this out by getting them to do a test on it. And it was clear that they didn't know what the fuck was going on with the operations. Two of the staff members had been deemed to have never even read the risk assessments of the ride. As I mentioned earlier, workers had reported feeling immense pressure from management to minimize ride downtime and maximize profits, which was deemed to be a huge problem here. Also, the high winds that day, exceeding safety limits by 12 miles per hour, that should have kept the ride closed. And nobody properly communicated about that test carriage, you know, train three that had been sent out, which is the biggest fucking problem here. How do you send a test carriage through? You're the guy who sends it out and you don't confirm that it had come back. They didn't do that. There was no communication on the initial send out of that test carriage to the main ride operator that they'd even done that. It's just like, pause, hold on a minute. We're doing something. We'll let you know when it's time to go. And then they do let them know it's time to go, but they haven't confirmed that it came back. All this fucking mess resulted in Alton Towers being closed down for a week. Ouch. And they were fined £5 million, which is like 2% of their seasonal earnings. The Smiler was back in business the following season, though it was now missing any mention in its marketing of marmalizing its passengers. Because that's what fucking happened to those girls. Their legs, they were marmalized. Nick Varney, Park CEO, personally visited each victim and apologized. To the public, he had this to say, quote, "This has been a terrible incident and a devastating day for everyone here. We have a very strong record of safe operation of our rides here at Alton Towers, and it is our priority. I would like to express my sincerest regret and apology to everyone who suffered injury and distress today and to their families." End quote. Yeah, okay. Who gives a fuck? I mean, that has to be said. And it's funny how the press will say, well, the public received this very well, knowing that the CEO had gone and visited everybody, Nick Varney. Oh, man, what a good guy. I mean, it's really not his fault, right? At least he sent that out to everybody and he visited the families and at least he did that. I don't know, man. Maybe Nick Varney needed to like walk through the park from time to time, talk to the people there, make sure that everybody understood how fucking important it is to keep people safe. Maybe he did. I don't know. I know this, though. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter how much you tell the public that you're worried about safety. It matters how much that kid pushing fucking buttons, that 17, 18-year-old kid pushing buttons at the amusement park cares about your safety that day. That's all that matters. Or how competent he is, or her, she is, or how competent the people that he's working with are. When you have a push to have 1,200 people go through in an hour, it gets redundant. It gets, you know, you get desensitized to how important it is what you're doing. Ferrying these people through this ride and ensuring their safety, you lose a sensitivity to how dangerous this all could be if a mistake is made. Alton Towers, naturally, saw a big drop in attendance as it closed another 6 rides to update safety measures following the Smiler debacle of 2015. Accidents involving roller coasters aren't as rare as many think. Usually it's a case of passengers behaving like idiots and finding themselves hanging from a gondola or falling out of a swing from 20 feet in the air. In the case of the Smiler, we clearly have park employees at fault. The Smiler tried to tell them something was wrong. The ride itself, built by these Germans, right? Gerstelag or whatever. It was built to avoid human error. And the way in which it was trying to avoid human error is by alarming. The Smiler itself is like, hey, there's a fucking train on the track. Don't send another train through. But there's not much you can do when the operator keeps pressing the go button and telling the Smiler, it's okay, don't worry about it. The Smiler is just a machine. It's like, okay, send them through. There are plenty of lawsuits and payouts, some still in the works behind the scenes. 16 cases in total, I presume. Who knows how many? Maybe a few people who took to filming the carnage got in on the act, this being such a traumatic scene and all for everyone. On a positive note, Joe and Leah, the young couple on their first date, they married 8 years later. The trauma they endured together that day bonded them. And the Smiler, it rolls on, as the show must go on. To think that these poor people, they waited forever in line, then through a delay, only to be sent into a horrific crash that caused another 4-hour wait, that had a few passengers asking for release, even if it had to be at the hands of death in that wait. To think that this all occurred in a ride that promised to marmalize its victims is an incredible story to me. I go so far as to say a dark topic. I go so far as to work on this case for 3 days and then record it for you and hope that you liked it or thought that it fit here. Dark topic is supposed to be about dark topics. I have to just go into crime, but I'm trying to branch out a little bit. And I hope you found this as fascinating as I did and as scary as I did. Personally, I find myself shying away from these contraptions these days. I'm getting too rotund and rusty to be shaken around after standing for an hour in the hot sun like an animal being led to slaughter with a bunch of other animals, faces smeared with ice cream. When I was at Disney, I heard a story of some lady who had to suddenly shit in line. So she pulled up her skirt, squatted, and sprayed a wall with what was troubling her, then shuffled back into the line. Now I know sometimes, especially if you have a medical condition, when you gotta go, you gotta go. But I'd argue that if you gotta go in the form of spraying a wall with liquid shit at Disney, like a bear, then after you finish shitting all over the wall, midway through an hour-long wait of a line, if you had to go like that, then I think you gotta go afterwards, like out of the line, and go find a janitor, or go home, or go to the hospital. Don't go back in the line. This is what we're dealing with in society these days. There's a bunch of fucking morons running the show. Have you talked to anybody that you know? They're all fucking idiots. These are the people running the show. It's always been this way. So for anyone to tell me that everything's safe, that everything's going to be okay in any certain situation, I roll my eyes and say, you know what? I think I'm going to stay home and figure out how to make pizza. Maybe watch a movie, play some chess, some Scrabble, do a puzzle. Anyways, I think we're done here. I'm happy to be released of the subject. I've had my fill of airports and airplanes, clearly, and lines and amusement parks, obviously, and all the horrors that come with all of it. Maybe I'm just being a grumpy old man. I don't want to be, but the world sure makes it hard. I had so many horrible experiences on flights recently, in traffic recently. I think I'm turning into a middle of nowhere guy. My main concern is just giving my kids exposure to the things that they hear are fun. And I give them those opportunities, but man, I don't know. Is it just me? Or do you, any of you feel the same way where it's like, hey, an airplane ride's supposed to be fun to a destination where you get fed all day on a beach And then you get there and it's like the airplane ride was a huge pain in the ass. Everyone on the airplane was a fucking piece of shit. You got treated like fucking garbage, like a prisoner. And then you got overcharged by it as well. And you felt unsafe the whole time because planes have been falling out of the air. And then you land and you get to the resort, say, I haven't been to one for a while. And then you're crowded onto everything again. And everyone around you is talking about politics or fucking their sports team they care about. And the dumbest of us are talking the loudest. And the most intelligent aren't there because they're too intelligent to fucking go into these places anymore. I want to be one of those. I don't want to fucking be around it anymore. I'm going to wait until some of this gets figured out. I don't know how. I mean, how do you go back to the 1950s? Cull the herd? I don't want that to happen. But I also don't want myself in these situations really anymore. I'm done listening to people tell me that, you know, cheer up. Have a better attitude. Come on, man. I see what I see. I feel what I feel. And for me, I'm going to avoid it. I've had enough. Anyways, I did enjoy my time with you today. I really did. I had a couple of beers. I smoked a couple of cigarettes. I've been working on this for days and enjoyed this subject because it was so haunting. And with the ha, 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 ha. Oh, John Joyce is calling me. We're going to put it at a brutal real soon. I'll put that out for everybody. We have a little bit of a new format there. Anyways. I'm okay with the fact that now we all, in one way or another, belong to the smiler. Eyes cocked, doors locked, stay paranoid. Think about it. Avoid when you can. And maybe you're better than me and you can find a way to have fun out there. Share your stories. Share your negative stories when it comes to things that are supposed to be ultra fun. When you worked your ass off to make the money to go and do these things, a trip, you know, and go to an amusement park. Share your stories with me that are positive or negative. I'd be interested to know or read how wrong I am or maybe how right I am. You have been listening to Dark Topic Plus, an exclusive piece of content. Eyes cocked, doors locked, stay paranoid. Talk at you soon.